Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo is in Red Lick.
You know, it would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. You got to brew it forward waiting on you at Strange Brew, courtesy of our.
Yes. Thanks to Mr.
Now your new good friend, Brian.
And my good friend, Mr. McDuff.
Yes. Yes. Good to see them this weekend. We'll talk more about the weekend here in Starkville in just a bit. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. I was walking. Where was I? I think I was just, I forget where I was this weekend, but somebody like motioned to me and I went over there and they're like, beef, it's what's for dinner. It's like, we touch turns to gold, Robbie. There's no slogan we can't.
It makes me feel good that everybody's not just fast forwarding.
Exactly.
Thing. So, some people get mad that we riff too much.
Yeah.
I was told the other day. So,
well, they can, you know what? No. It's going to be
a free podcast. It costs you nothing.
It's free content.
This is free.
Yeah, cost you nothing. It's beef tonight, Sunday night at the Haydad House. It's burger night. We have bacon cheeseburgers tonight, so that's exciting.
Lucky y'all.
Yeah, every night can be beef night. You just got to head to the grocery store. And the great thing about beef is you can have beef every night, but it's a different cut. Steaks, roasts, ground beef, shaved beef. I mean, it's all out there. Enjoy it. Make some great meals for yourself and your family. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And you are, in fact, looking for. You need new gear. The football season is upon us. Don't show up to Davis Wade Stadium. Don't come down to Hattiesburg Saturday wearing that same old ratty banner rim maroon polo you've had since Dan Mullen's third season in Starkville. It's time to upgrade. So get some new great gear with the new logos, the interlocking in the state script, and get them at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. Best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. Being around Starkville this weekend, you see all the local restaurants. They're doing great. Nobody doing better than Restaurant Tyler, though. That's the place everybody wants to get into. That's the place everybody wants to go and enjoy not just a good meal, but a great meal. If you're going to be in Starkville this football season, and I know that you will be, make sure Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning, at least one time this week, each weekend, you make a trip to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to a bank that knows you as well as it knows your money, a bank that provides a level of service that you're only going to get with Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Robbie and I were a couple of party animals this weekend. We'll talk more about that later in the show. But it is game week. We finally have made it. We had college football. We actually had a really good college football game on Saturday over there in Ireland, complete with a dad and a brother getting into a Pier 6 altercation, apparently.
So that was kind of wild.
You know, if you're going to fight your own family, you should do that in America. Yeah, that should be it's called domestic violence, not international violence. Sort of point that out.
I didn't know that dads and sons fought like that anymore. I don't think I'm breaking any news here, but that was like a common theme with the last generation.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying everybody did that, but it wasn't that uncommon to like for dad and son to get out in the yard
Yeah.
and put on and boxing scrap. Gloves.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's kind of like frowned upon now
Yes.
for obvious reasons. So seeing that, I didn't see video or anything,
I saw
but
the, I've seen the video. That's a real fight.
seeing that is kind of, it's a shock to the
That's
system.
not a, oh, come on, I'll, you know, that's not, hold me back. They were scrapping.
Yeah.
So.
Like I'm kind of shocked now, like seeing people spank their kids in public.
Yeah, you don't see it very
Like
often. Yeah.
I'm not one of those. I'm one of those that will. I don't really mind, but seeing other people do that used to be a common thing
Oh
in
yeah,
the
don't see
grocery
it anymore.
store. That kind of shocks me. If I saw a father beating his son down, I would be utterly shocked. But in Ireland, maybe not though.
Yeah, there was a. I think I may have brought it up. I know I did it on Sports Talk, but there was a like a TikTok something I saw that made me think like, could I have beaten up my father when he was my age? So when my dad was 49, I would have been. So that's not, like 17, I think. And the question is, could I have beaten up my dad at that age? No. Could I beat him up now? If I'm 49 and he's 49, could I win a fight against him? No.
No, I've seen a picture of
No.
your dad. No.
He would have drugged me from one end of this building to the other.
My dad at
So
36 was incredibly fit.
he would have smoked you.
He would have killed me.
He
My
still
dad was,
would. I just
first of
want to
all,
let you
my
know.
dad was a was he was a hothead. I
Yeah.
know, shocking that I might have developed something from that. My
Yeah.
dad was a hothead in high school, and I'm talking like pool room brawls, like lock in the locker room and fisticuffs in the locker room. I was not built for that life.
No, your
And
dad right
my
now.
dad at 36 was running like 8 miles a day and was incredibly fit.
Your dad right now would beat the hell out of you, but he would explain to you while he was doing it how bad he felt about doing it. I'm sorry,
Oh
Robbie.
yeah.
It's got to be this way. This is not what the Lord intended.
That's what he did to me when I was a kid.
Yeah, I believe it. So
If I got a belt, it was, I hate doing
I
this.
hate
I'm
doing
like,
this. Yeah,
yeah. No, the
so.
funny thing was that was whenever my friends were over at my house one night, and I don't care that anybody is mad that we're riffing here, but
I don't
like I
care.
have friends at my house, we're watching a movie, and my dad comes through like a couple of times. Hey, son, can you take the garbage out? And like the third time he comes in there, hey guys, I'm sorry you have to see this. Robbie, go take the garbage out now. Take it out right now.
That's good stuff.
Like he apologized to
He
everybody before the
apologized to everybody
stream.
else. Yeah, he did the best he could. All right. So it's game week here in Starkville. Obviously, getting ready to head down to Hattiesburg this weekend. Mississippi State in southern Mississippi. I believe the spread is anywhere 11.5, 12.5 right this second. Bill Connolly's S&P model today put out Mississippi State as a 37-21. That was their projected margin of victory, was a 16-point victory for Mississippi State. I would tell you now that. If that is indeed the score, that 7 points, that final touchdown for Southern Mississippi needs to come late in the fourth quarter. You need to be up
You wouldn't.
37-14, and you know, they score a garbage score to
Okay.
make you feel good about what you're going into the rest of the week. Do you agree with that?
If it wasn't like a like if it was a comfortable 37-21, even without a late touchdown, like you never really felt like Southern was getting in the game late,
Well,
you wouldn't take.
I mean,
I mean,
it's what it is. Yeah, I
it's
got.
almost a touchdown over spread.
I'm just thinking about it in terms of, are you saying it was 30-21 and State gets a touchdown to make it a, that's, I mean, that means that the game was
No.
close.
No, but just maybe like,
So it's
you go to
37-14, Southern scores, and then that's it.
Southern scores like at the beginning of the fourth quarter.
But then State just holds the ball, holds them off the rest of the way. I feel
Yeah.
probably okay about that, but I'd like to, you know, I think this is the kind of the point. I'm not, you know, obviously three P's are Friday, but maybe I've fallen victim to what happens to everybody this time of year, and you want to get more optimistic. But I just look at State's offensive line, and we talked about that the other day, that they've beefed up the offensive line, literally and figuratively. They've got a group now that is what something like a 330, 320 pounds per man, something like that for Mississippi State. Is that correct?
I can't remember the exact
It, but
height and
what
weight.
it,
Like the height and weight together, like the average was extremely high.
right. When you look at, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, it's one list. I don't even know how accurate it was, but it was being shared on social media and on the message board. Said State had like a top five offensive line in terms of size, and I don't know if that's projected starters or the entire unit or what, but it is a massive line.
Right.
And that doesn't mean automatically that the Mississippi State's gonna dominate. I mean, just strictly being big.
It doesn't mean that, but when you're talking about D1
I'd rather be
athletes,
big than small on the offensive
exactly.
line.
Here's the, looking at it, this is a projected depth chart for USM. I don't know how accurate it is, right? But their four-man front is from left to right is 270, 324, big kid there, 310, and then 225. So it feels like State's going to have the size advantage there. They're going to be bigger up front. They should be able to move around that USM defensive line and should be able to run the football. We've been talking for the past couple of weeks about how everything we're hearing out of camp feels like they're going to be more run heavy, that they're going to be more what's the word I'm looking for? Just not conservative on offense, but they are going to be looking to run the football. And so I feel something I do a lot when we talk about these matchups is this, I just make it as generic as I can. And I say, don't you think that an SEC team should be able to run the football on a Sun Belt team? Now, before anybody says anything, you would point to last year and you would say, well, would you have said that about a MAC team? And yeah, I would have. And I think at this point, we have to look back at last year and say, look, it happened. There's no getting around that, but it's an outlier. All right. In the last what, however many years, how many non-conference games has Mississippi State lost to group of six, group of five teams? The answer is what, two?
One, two,
In the last 2 years,
Toledo and
South
South
Alabama.
Alabama.
In the last 2 years. Twice. They're outliers. So you can't build a statistical model, which is what, if we were talking about Bill Connelly, you can't build a statistical model off of outliers. You got to take what you have, you have to take the overwhelming amount of evidence you have, and if you want us to do 10 years for Mississippi State against Sun Belt teams, didn't play one last year. 2 years ago, played Southern Mississippi and won by 21. In 2022, didn't play a Sun Belt team, but beat Memphis by 26, beat Arizona by 22, beat Bowling Green by 31. If you're just talking about the FBS non-conference teams, Louisiana Tech 2021, that was a close one. They won, but it was close. The next week, they played an ACC team and won by two touchdowns. Then they lose to Memphis. That's an outlier. 2020, obviously, don't play any. Beat Southern Mississippi and Louisiana by 10 and 22. I'm sorry, by 22 and 10, respectively, in 2019. Also played Kansas State and lost to them, but that's a power school. Played Louisiana in 2018, won by 46. Played Louisiana Tech that year, won by 42. Won by 36 against Louisiana Tech in 2017. Won by 25 against BYU. By and large, Mississippi State, when they play non-conference games, they're going to win by double digits. When they don't, it usually means something is way off, like it was last year.
Here's the reality of the situation, and I
Go
think
ahead.
this is even more true now.
Well, things that are true is next week, Robbie.
But
I only get five, though, apparently.
when you look at these two rosters, and Mississippi State, let make no mistake about it, their roster was closer to a group of five school last
Was.
year than it was this year. So I guess I'm just assuming that Mississippi State's roster is more SEC capable this year. And this in no way is me making a prediction on what's going to happen. this weekend. Anything can happen here. You know, Mississippi State could come out extremely flat and Southern Miss playing extremely well. But we talk about, you know, well, this is the, you know, these are the Marshall guys that played and won the championship last year. If those players were wanted men in the Power Five, the majority of them would have gone to the Power Five, Power Four. And the quarterback, maybe you can argue,
The quarterback
but
and don't leave Josh Moten off. Mississippi State desperately wanted him, but he ended up following his coach. But I
yeah,
think
but
you and I
that's
would
like what you're
agree.
saying. That's an outlier.
It's an outlier.
The,
Well, it's not
in
even
the
an
quarterback,
outlier.
I think the quarterback is kind of borderline too. I don't know if that's a power four quarterback long
I
term.
think he could play at the power four level. I
He
don't know if he
could, but what
I
are
don't think he
his
could play at Alabama
options?
or Georgia, but he could definitely play at like Houston or something like that.
Yeah, but what were his options?
I don't know.
I honestly
And
don't know.
the thing with Moten is the fact that Charles Huff went to Southern Mississippi is a huge piece of that, right? If
Yeah.
Charles Huff doesn't go to Southern Mississippi and it's between Southern Mississippi and Mississippi State wins that battle.
But
But he
they
wanted to
had
play for his
players
cousin.
that went to significantly better programs
Right.
that didn't follow. So my point is, like, they didn't just like take everybody from Marshall that could compete on this level.
Right.
I think there's a couple of guys that I would consider that could at least be in the two deep in the SEC, probably. Moten is one of those. But for the most part, I mean, let's just be real, your group of five players are going to be in the group of five unless you're catching them on the start of their rise up. If they are upperclassmen, if they're juniors and seniors and they're still at the group of five, it's because that's where they're supposed to be. So Mississippi State should have a significantly better roster than Southern Miss. And I think you will know if Mississippi State is in trouble by what you see in this game. State should come out in this ball game and they should have the edge up front. They should have the better defensive line against Southern Miss's offensive line. But we can argue the quarterback thing. I know you're really high on the quarterback.
I do
I
like
like
him.
him. I like him a lot too.
Yeah.
But the offensive line is going to dictate a lot for them. And if Mississippi State's getting pressure on him and they're containing him, it should be a good day for State. If the offensive line is holding off Mississippi State's pass rush, that's a very bad sign. If State cannot block Southern Miss's defensive line, who on according to our lads, which I, again, like you said, I don't know
I don't know how accurate it is. Yeah.
Mason Clinton was on Mississippi State's basically his like Mississippi State's scout team in the spring, and he's like third team defensive line for Southern Miss. You know, Avery Sledge had trouble getting on the field for Mississippi State. He's competing for a starting spot. I think they have some other guys that are playing that were from State, maybe. I haven't got a chance to really dive into it yet,
Yeah.
but these are guys that they couldn't get on the field at Mississippi State, you know, and they're fighting for starting spots. If you can't beat this team fairly comfortably, then something's wrong. And I know that there are people that are they have, you know, PTSD from what they saw in the 1980s, you know, the 1980 team lost to Southern Miss in
Yeah.
the 90s. Like, people still talk about that. And
Yeah.
I mean this in no disrespect to Southern Miss, but the SEC has,
It's
even Mississippi
different.
State, has grown apart from teams like Southern Miss. And Southern Miss was really bad last year. I know
Yeah.
Mississippi State was too, but State should be a comfortable favorite and a comfortable winner in this game. And if they aren't, there are some big problems.
I would say this, though. I think the PTSD for Mississippi State fans is a lot more about last year in Toledo than it is.
That plays a factor for
I
sure.
think a lot of people have finally shaken off the 80s. You know, even as recently as when they played in 2023, you did have some fans who were, you know, oh, Southern can be tough, and it's like it's not 1986 anymore. You know, they're not. It's not the same thing.
It really is the fact that Toledo showed us last year that
Been talking about
State
it for
could
months.
lose.
Yeah.
No, and I think Toledo's a better team than Southern Miss
Agreed.
right now, but still, it's a group of five team. that Mississippi State should have beaten by multiple touchdowns, and instead they got blown out.
Right.
And that's makes a lot of people nervous, and I can understand that. Until we get this thing started on Saturday, we can't have any confidence in this team going out there and just blowing out Southern Miss.
Right.
Like, I've got to see it first.
Yeah.
I've got to see where they stand right now.
Where I am right now is pretty simple. I think they'll win, but I'm not going to come on this program and say, yeah, they're going to run them off the field, knowing what I know right now. And all I know is what I saw last year, combined with what they recruited, what Southern Miss has recruited. If I go by my simple system that I like to use, where is the game being played? It's in Hattiesburg. Who has the better quarterback? I mean, is it not a wash at best between Chapin and Braxton?
That,
Braxton has,
like, just on, like, for right now, maybe, yeah.
at best, it's a wash. And then who's the better coach? I mean, say what you want. Huff's resume is objectively better as a head coach than Levy.
I do think that you have to factor in, but, like,
Oh, there's nuance to it, yeah.
Blake Chapin has played a lot of power four football and started games on this level. I mean, it's a totally different level. How does this quarterback look next week? This week, sorry, against an SEC defense. You know, Blake Chapin has played considerably more football against that caliber. So I don't know if I'm going to put their quarterback ahead of Blake Chapin right now. He hasn't played on this level. I don't know. And I like Chapin better as a thrower.
I agree. Chapin has better arm talent. The other guy, Braxton, is a better runner. Braxton has better stats overall, but we'll, like I said, I can call it a wash because I just don't know. I just don't know. I just don't know what to make of Chapin right now. I think healthy Chapin, if I get 12 games of Chapin, it's going to be just fine. He'll put up really good numbers, but I worry because of what. Because you saw last year. And I understand that, there's always big misses. I think if you look at the top 25 last year, the preseason top 25, like 12, 13 teams ended up not being ranked. A lot of teams get ranked because of their name, right? Michigan, like Oklahoma. There's no reason to rank Oklahoma as high as people have them ranked this year, but they're Oklahoma,
Yeah,
so they get
that's
that.
ridiculous.
Michigan is in the top 15. They're gonna be playing a true freshman quarterback in the Big Ten. That doesn't mean they're going to be a top 15 team. So I understand that you're going to have some misses, but at the same time, all I have to go on is what I've already seen with my own two eyes. And I watched Mississippi State not just lose to Toledo last year, but get drug all over the field, up and down the field. Now I am fully aware that State that the team that played that game last year versus the team that played this year is by and large completely different. The coaching staff is the same though. That the coaching staff that I understand that there, the talent maybe wasn't where you want it to be at Mississippi State last year. They were not ready to play in that football game. They came
No.
out flat. They let Toledo punch them right in the mouth. They had no answer for anything Toledo did. That they were outcoached that day. Jason Candle outcoached Jeff Lebby and Coleman Hutzler that day. No getting around that fact. And so that's where my trepidation lies more than anything else with this football team is that. It's the same coaches that watched everything happen a year ago. So until I see some changes, until I see Mississippi State go out there and dominate from the start of the game to the end of the game and handle what should be a less talented opponent, I'm going to have my doubts. So what does that mean? It means that today, August the 24th, I tell you that I think Mississippi State versus Southern Mississippi could be a pretty close game. It could be a blowout. Mississippi State could go out there and just beat them by five touchdowns. But it could also be a game that goes deep into the fourth quarter and it's still in doubt. But if State does go out and win easily, then I'll tell you that on the next week, they're going to have a great chance against Arizona State. So it's just that simple. I'm going to watch this team play before I make any sweeping generalizations. Everything I've predicted to this point is based off of one fact, that the coaches that were there last year for a season that was awful are still there right now. And I know they got better players, but sometimes that can only go take you so far. You got to have the right coaches in place. And I can't sit here today after a 2-10 season and tell you with any confidence that Mississippi State does. And that's just where I am.
Yeah, no, I think a lot's going to be like our narrative, our thought
Yeah,
process.
don't use the word narrative because that has a negative connotation. A narrative is something that people build sometimes off of false pretenses. This is just our thoughts.
Okay. Our thought process on this team moving forward will be shifted or shaped based on what we see Saturday. We will know a good bit about where we think this team's going. There will still be a lot that we can learn about Mississippi State, but a lot of questions will be answered on Saturday. And for Jeff Lebby's sake, for Mississippi State's sake, it's got to be a very positive week. It has got to be, you got to be coming out of that saying, man, I'm pumped for Arizona State. Like the fan base has got to be locked in for that Arizona State game. And to do that, you need to go to Southern Miss and you need to, I think they need to dominate that football game. I think they need to come out, punch Southern in the face and say, we're here. We're ready to roll. This isn't last year is not what we want this program to look like. This is what we're going to look like. This team might, after that, they might win three or four more games. But leaving that stadium, people need to be excited about what's happening the next week. And in order for that to happen, you've got to have a dominant game at Hattiesburg. And we'll see what happens. I mean, State can't come in there and just, go through the motions in that game. They will lose that game if they go through the motions. They've got to come out in the first quarter. It can't be Southern scores first and you're fighting from behind or whatever, which happened a couple years ago. State needs to come out, get the first stop, get the first score, and go from there.
You raise an interesting question here for me. So the final score in 2023 was 41-20, right? And but you said it correctly there. Southern came out early, they had the lead, and then State came back and just got control of the game, right? But what is the mood in the stadium if it's 7-0 USM in the first quarter? Like the State
It's
fans are being
buzzing. Everybody's
The Southern fans are going to think they're okay. Here we go. We're going to win. And the U.S. State fans are going to be like, oh my God, here we go. This is not good. Nobody, we've been saying this for the past few months now. Nobody needs a three and out more than Coleman Hutzler, and nobody needs a touchdown more than Jeff Lebby in college football. Nobody in college football needs those two things more than those two guys do, in my opinion.
Yeah. It definitely feels like just such a huge game, and the way that the game plays out is so big too. I mean, I can't remember a time where Mississippi State just desperately needed something like they do for this season to be positive. Five wins, six wins, whatever you want to say, whatever you would take away as positive. They need to really take a step forward here.
When you look at season openers, let's just look at like the last 10 years, right? So 2015, Mississippi State opened at Southern Mississippi. That was not an important season opener. You knew Mississippi State was going to win. They were coming off of a great season. They had Dak. Mullen was at the peak right there, right? That was not what we call an important season opener. The next year they lose to South Alabama, but coming into that game, there was no thought that that was an important game, right?
No.
It's like, it's Alabama, they'll kill them. And it didn't turn out that way, but not an important season opener. They opened with an FCS team in 2017 and 2018, obviously not important games. They went to the Superdome to play Louisiana Lafayette in 2019. That's a team that you had beaten the previous year by 46 points. Wouldn't call that an important season opener by any stretch of the imagination. 2020, with the COVID year, you play it at LSU. Now, that's just an important game because it's a conference game. So it's an outlier there. We're using that word again.
In Mike Leach's first game.
It's Mike Leach's first game, but also like you never State never opens with an SEC game. That's a different animal entirely. 2021 Louisiana Tech, again, it's a close game, but going into that game, nobody is saying that it's important. It's always important to be 1-0 to get off to a good start. But nobody's looking at it and goes, gosh, Mike Leach's tenure at Mississippi State hangs in the balance of this game. The next year you open with Memphis. Important because you had lost to them the year before and you wanted to get a measure of revenge there. But again, nobody is looking at that game going, well, if Mike Leach doesn't win this game, he's in real trouble. FCS team the last 2 years. This is one of the most important season openers in memory for Mississippi State. Jeff Lebby's tenure can be defined next Saturday, this coming Saturday. If he wins big, then nothing is defined. You're just moving forward. A loss, and it is over for him at Mississippi State. I don't think there's any coming back for him at that. And even a close win is not going to have anybody getting on the boat with him to go forward in this season.
I mean, the issue that you have right now for Jeff Lebby is like you're trying to build, and the only way you're going to be able to build from this season is by showing significant progress. Because the recruiting class, I'm just going to be frank here, is not good. It's not a
It's
good
below
recruiting class.
standard. We'll just be kind and call it that.
It's one of the worst they've had in a long time. But it's somewhat understanding because I think a lot of players out there are just not sold on Mississippi State yet. And I probably wouldn't have taken a lot of guys that they've taken at this point. I would have just kind of laid off a little bit. I don't know why they or have built the class so quickly and taken the guys that are kind of borderline. But because I think if they do show progress throughout the season, you're going to get back in the game with guys that you might not have been in the game with, in-state players, guys that you were recruiting that might have committed somewhere else. You're going to start to get them back on campus. They're going to feel the buzz around the program. They're going to start trusting more in Coleman Hutzler and Jeff Lebby. Right now, I think that's the issue, is they saw what happened last year. Jeff Lebby has no track record as a head coach. Coleman Hutzler has no track record as a defensive coordinator. And so a lot of these guys are waiting and seeing. So if Mississippi State has another poor season, it's going to be very difficult for them to climb out of that hole in recruiting and get better players. I think the only way that they build on this year is with a season that is bordering a bowl game or getting to a bowl game, perhaps beating Ole Miss, getting a marquee win against Arizona State or something. That's the only way you're getting out of this if you're Jeff Lebby. And it's not losing to Southern Miss in game one. They can't,
Yeah, they
that
can't.
can't happen. I do not think he will survive at Mississippi State if he loses that game,
Agreed.
because he might get another year, and I think that's probably going to happen. But you're not going to have a better team next year if your team goes 3-9 or 4-8 or whatever. Your team's just not going to be better. I don't know what dollar figure it would take to make a roster significantly better next year if you
It
don't
gets to a
have a good
point
season.
where you have to start throwing out money you don't have.
Yeah, that.
You start having to like triple offers to difference makers in the portal.
And at that point, like, you have no faith in this coaching staff to get that out of those players. So
Exactly. So
this
yeah.
game is hugely
This
important
is
for
one of
him.
this
They got to
is
win, and it
convincing.
needs to be a big win.
Yeah. Agreed.
And take that momentum into a week that could be a monster night at Davis Wade Stadium. This weekend will tell us a lot.
One last thing, and we've kind of hit on it, but it does exist. There's a better than average possibility that Mississippi State just goes down there and handles Southern Mississippi easily. That this game, the final score of this game is like 38-13 or something, and State just completely dominates them, and there's no concern from the opening whistle to the final whistle. And that's obviously the best case scenario for Mississippi State. Now, that's what everybody from Mississippi State's perspective is wanting to see. So that, I feel like we'd be remiss, we've talked so much about what if it's close and what happens if it goes bad. If you honestly, if you really like mathematically look at it, my guess is the highest percentage outcome would be State
Comfortably.
comfortably wins this football game. So that's something though, like I said, just maybe call it PTSD if you want. I'm not going to go out on that limb with Mississippi State until I'm pretty sure the tree is a little firmer in the ground. I think
Well,
the way
if
it's
you're
there.
calling, like, if you're just If you know that this is going to be an easy win for State in your mind, or you know that State's going to win 6 to 8 games this year, you're just being blindly optimistic at this point. There's nothing that's told us that's likely to happen. The only thing we can go on is what we saw last year, and we can have an opinion that this team is better, that they're bigger and they're better and they're more talented. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to turn into a bunch of wins for Mississippi State. If you're that kind of person, I applaud you for it. But we can't sit here today and say Mississippi State is going to go to Hattiesburg and they're going to kill Southern Miss. They are going to beat Arizona State. They are going to win 8 games this year. They're going to beat Ole Miss. They're going to do this and that. We can't say that right now. We've got to see it first. Any kind of thought that State's going to do all that stuff is just blind optimism. It's just hoping that all that's going to turn out that way. So until we actually see it for ourselves, that's all we can do right now is just kind of wait and see.
Okay. Good news. We don't have to wait too long. Only 6 more days as we're sitting here on a Sunday afternoon. All right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother in the heart of the Cotton District. Was in the Cotton District this weekend and so many people walking around eating at the older brother. I had somebody, where was I the other day? Oh, I was eating at a, this is the power of this show, but also the power of Two Brothers and the older brother. I was eating with my mother at a different restaurant. Well, we won't name it, but I wasn't at either one of those places. And somebody came in and was like, "Brian, I really enjoyed the show. Have you eaten at the older brother yet for dinner?" Now I'm eating at another restaurant. And he
Yeah.
asked me if I've eaten at the older brother yet. And I was like, "I haven't made it over there for dinner." He's like, "Brian, you got to get over there. You're always talking about you love pork chops. They got the best pork chop I ever had." I was like,
I've heard really good things.
"All right, so we need to get over there." But I thought that was incredible that I'm eating at a different restaurant. And this guy's telling me about the older brother. I was like, I guess so. Again, I'm glad y'all are listening. So, this football season, Two Brothers Smoked Meats is a great place to go to enjoy football pregame, short walk over to Davis Wade Stadium. Great place to come back postgame as well. If you're in the Cotton District and you want a great meal, it's real simple to find one. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it. Don't ask. They've been doing it for 50 years.
50, brother.
Did you see that tweet we got about this?
Yes.
Guy was in
Yes.
church thinking about 50, brother.
I commented on that and said, like, I got gaslighted into doing this. Wait, my guy, I know he's listening right now. Justin Stidham was teaching Sunday school. And this was, like, I think last week. And he had made mention in his lesson about 50. And he had told me, like, beforehand, like, I'm going to give you a cue and you just be ready. And I was like, uh-oh. And so he drops the 50 and just stays silent. And I'm just like, 50. And then I got another one in the same, I had two of them in the same Sunday school class.
Yeah.
It's becoming a
It's a
phenomenon.
thing. It's a thing. When will Advantage Business Systems? I don't know if they're really in the merch business, but if they got some 50 t-shirts, I think they would sell. I'll throw
Yes.
that out there. What also sells is great copiers, printers, computers, laptops, anything you need for your business. It's there at Advantage Business Systems. But most importantly, what's there for you is service after the sale. When something goes wrong and you got to call somebody, you get somebody you can trust on the other end of that line. With Advantage Business Systems, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Great product. Nope. Maroon and Co. is the place to go for the Mississippi State gear you're looking for here in Starkville. If you're going to be in Starkville for a game or for any reason, nobody's got a bigger or better selection of maroon and white than our friends over at Maroon and Co. Or you can use the website, maroonandco.com. Shirts, hoodies, pullovers, t-shirts, hats. Nobody with a better selection of hats. I'll guarantee that. It's all right there for you at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're looking for Mississippi State gear, it's easy to find. You got to go to Maroon & Co. Hot out there. Actually, not as bad this weekend. Nice. So maybe instead of saying, I got to get through this, you're thinking, hey, I'm going to take my time and enjoy this somewhat fall weather that we're having. That means you got to get some John Deere behind you on that one. John Deere commercial mowers, compact tractors, Gators, they're all for you right there at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. Whatever you're looking for to help you around your house. If you got repair projects, if you're working out in the garden, if you're mowing the grass, if you've got a weed eat, if you've got a cookout for the family this weekend, or maybe you don't have to do any of that stuff and you're just going to get out on the water, it's all right there for you at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. Go to this weekend before you do anything else. Head over to Saltillo. See our friends at Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden. They have what you want for less. Robbie and I, on Friday night, Robbie was there. Saturday night, I was there to see the party animals versus the Texas tailgaters. My friends all became big Texas tailgaters fans. They were taunting the party animals fans. I thought it
Oh,
was.
they just did the whole like you
They went
cheer for the
heel.
heel.
They went heel. It was great. I
You
went
know
to.
what was crazy
I
about
wanted a
this?
Texas tailgater shirt, but they didn't have. I guess I got to lose more weight. That 2X was the biggest thing they had.
Texas Tailgaters were at Starkville Academy this week, by the way, doing batting practice. That's pretty cool. I was completely taken aback when they're announcing the starting lineups. And first of all, the third baseman from Ole Miss's softball team was the starting second baseman in this game. I was like, wait, I remember her. And very, very talented, by the
Yeah, and
way.
then flashed a
Very
hottie
good.
toddy shirt, though.
Yeah, she got a boo from the crowd.
As
It
she
was funny.
should, yes.
And then Zach Watson from LSU was
I remember him.
playing for the Texas Tailgaters. It was kind of interesting. I've heard that somebody will have to confirm this. I've heard Peyton Chatagnier is in this league. I'm not 100%, but it would not shock me in the least because it's perfect for him. The TikTok deal is perfect
Peyton
for him.
Chatagnier. Ha.
I think he's. I'm almost positive he. Yeah, he plays for the Savannah Bananas, I think.
Well, there you go. I was.
Least shocking. Least shocking
That
thing.
would He would have gotten booed had he
He
showed
would.
up.
He
If the
absolutely would
Bananas
have
had
got
been
booed.
there, I thought.
There were some Ole Miss fans. I heard the
Well,
guy on the mic. The guy on the mic said, like, I heard we got some Ole Miss.
there was.
Everybody's here's favorite team, Ole Miss.
They did that on Saturday as well. I don't know when they were there. They did play this Friday, but they played "Love Is Gone," and so
They
I
did.
saw some of the world's most unenthused. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I saw something. I tweeted about it. I was like, you can tell who the Ole Miss fans are when they play "Love Is Gone." I would not go to this event by myself, or maybe not. I don't even know that I would go with just me and you, right? I don't know if the boys would go out for a night of banana ball, but
No.
as a father with a 16-year-old daughter, she had a great time. She enjoyed it. She enjoyed being. I thought it was really cool being in Dutty Noble in August. You don't ever get to do that. Cool to see Coach Polk in the party animals jersey. Really cool to see Papelbon come out there and get it out. You got to see Mitch Moreland taking at bat. And then something, you know, I saw Papelbon pitch in college here, so that was great to kind of relive that and explain to my daughter, hey, this guy is an all-time great. It was a lot of fun. I thought it was cool. I thought it was a really good publicity for Mississippi State. You had some of their people on TikTok and on social media saying, hey, we've been to LSU and we've been to Arkansas, but this stadium is a lot better than those. It's awesome. It was just a lot of positive publicity. Last week, from a publicity standpoint, might be the best week State's ever had. Like, you had the interlocking logo stuff come out, and everybody was fired up about that. Then you had the Cotton District renovation plans come out. Everybody gets fired up about that. And then you have the party animals this weekend. Nothing but positive publicity coming out of that. Really good weekend. Really good times for Mississippi State.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they Mississippi State continues to bring these things to Starkville. This was huge for revenue for the city of Starkville before football season even starts. It was almost like another football weekend.
Yeah.
Cotton District was slam packed.
Well, you know what it
Lunch
was?
today, lunch on Sunday was a madhouse everywhere.
Yeah, we were in the district on Saturday. You know, they had the thing at the landing that you were over at.
Yeah.
I was having lunch with some friends and watching football, and like everywhere was packed. People were walking around. It was great. It was great to see. It what you said football weekend. I say it like Mississippi State baseball should always have super regional or regional weekends. That's what this was. I mean, you and I have been to enough baseball games. We have the trained eye. I don't know about Friday night. I would say there were at least 13,000 there Saturday.
I think there were, from what I could tell from crowd shots, there's probably more people there Friday.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
But still, I mean, we're talking about,
So close to
I'm going to say around
30,000 people
30,000
for the
tickets
weekend, yeah.
sold. And there were some people that went back Saturday and watched it again, but most everybody was, it was two different crowds. And, I had the Ole Miss burners in my mentions making fun of Mississippi State for having this. Like, imagine making fun of someone for selling out their baseball stadium two nights in a row for something that is becoming a, nationwide phenomenon.
That
The Savannah
they
Bananas
played
are
at
selling
LSU
out.
and played at Arkansas and
Like, I don't understand the people that crap on that. Like, I mentioned having Hardy at Duty Noble. That was objectively a great concert. It was great views. Having it in that environment was awesome. To have Hardy this year and then the Savannah Banana Ball, the party animals, whatever, this weekend, like that's 2 years in a row of great stuff. I want to see more of it. I want to see Starkville become, an entertainment spot, place that pulls in big talent. And you don't have to have big concerts, every month.
Right. You gotta
You
have some
can
little
have
just things every now and then, yeah.
one huge blowout every single year, whether that's at Duty Noble or Davis Wade Stadium. I would love to see more concerts in the hump. I just feel like there's so much you can do to boost Starkville up in Mississippi State, and I just feel like it hasn't been taken care of in recent years. And hopefully, this is a move in the right direction. I'm hoping this wasn't, this was booked way out. I'm hoping that wasn't like the end of the deal. Like, Duty Noble should be hosting things every late summer, late August into September, whatever. Or they should have like some summertime concerts, things like that. It was awesome having that inside the stadium, inside Duty Noble. I think that there's so much you can do with that space, and it's not quite like too big, but it's also not a small venue, so you can have some really exciting things there. So it's a really good spot for things like that. And this, people have their thoughts on this whole banana ball thing. And
You just
what
have
I
to
would
look at it as
say,
like the way we look at wrestling. It's just a show. It's just entertainment. It's an
what I would say
entertainment
about it
that's based
is
around baseball.
they're very clearly targeting kids.
Yeah.
Like their whole mindset is like, this is to create something fun for kids. And an hour before the thing even starts, they're having stuff going on. Like
Yeah.
it, I came home
I mean, they got a
and
band outside, and it's, you know.
I was like scratching my head, like rubbing my temples. And, my wife's like, what's wrong? Like, I'm just way overstimulated. Like, it was a bit much for me. I'm not like old man, but it was like it's constant action. It's stuff constantly going on. You have to be paying attention, whatever. For kids, I think it was incredible. It was a like if I was a kid at my daughter's age, 6 years old, I would have loved it. So it's a very interesting model. You've taken the Harlem Globetrotters and you've injected it with 10 pounds of sugar and made it into something that's on a totally different planet. And they did it in a sport that is sacred to a lot of people, so I can understand the feathers that are being ruffled. Like with basketball, what the Globetrotters were doing, I don't think hurt a lot of feelings. I was wondering what was going through Ron Polk's mind, but he was obviously by the end of the weekend was having a blast. You have to take it for what it is. It's not
I think
just the sport of baseball. It's entertainment, and that's how I looked at it.
Ron Polk is pro baseball. Anything that gets, because there may be a kid who's like, he went to a Savannah Bananas game, a Party Animals game, and that got him into real baseball. I think Ron Polk is anything that promotes the game of baseball in any way. He wants to be a part of that. So I think
I
that's
hope we separate like this though from actual baseball. Like, I hope that
It's not
kids are
baseball.
not, I hope that kids are not coming up and thinking like, I want to do, like, when they
Yeah.
go to the plate, they're
They're
dancing.
thrusting their hips when they get to the plate. We don't need
Yeah.
that.
But if you came into this like I did and told myself this is basically a traveling circus, but a lot cooler, then I think that you enjoyed yourself over the weekend. And
I had fun.
I came in and I said, this is entertainment. It's not a baseball game. Let's have some fun. And I had a good time.
I had a really good time, and I wasn't sure I was going to be totally honest, but I came in with an open mind, and I had a really good time, and I agree with you. I hope they can come back to Starkville very soon, because if nothing else, it's a great weekend for the city to have people here from all. I mean, you mentioned the Ole Miss fans, but they asked on Saturday night, are there any LSU fans here? Are there any Alabama fans here? So people obviously traveled for this.
Yeah.
Getting people into town for an extra weekend, very good thing. Tomorrow's show, we're really into it now. We'll be telling you what Jeff Lebby had to say at his press conference, first one of the season, plus week one predictions between me and Robbie to find out who at the end of the season is going to get stuck with that dinner tab. Needs to be Robbie this year. We need him to pay. I think that's just the way that it needs to be.
I just had a child, Brian. You
Well,
wish for me in the streets?
I would never do that. That's not something I would do. Other people I can't speak for. All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It is football season. Talk to you then. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.